This week's parsha, so we're introduced to Rachel and Leah. Ulavon shtei vanos, shema gedola Leah v'shema ketana Rachel. Ve'inei Leah rakos, v'Rachel haisa yifas tar v'yifas mare. Very strange description of the imahos. Instead of telling us about their midos, their fine qualities, we get a description of their looks. Leah's described as having soft eyes, bloodshot, teary eyes, sad looking, a little pathetic looking, even if it's not disrespectful to say. And Rachel is a beautiful of form and beautiful of appearance. Why was Leah so sad looking? So Rashi tells us, Rakos, Shaisa Svura Lalos Bigorolo Shal Esav, Ubachta, Shayakol Omrim Shnei Bonim Lerivka, Ushnei Bonos Lelavon, Hagadol Lagado Vaktana Lekatan. So Leah knew the rumors around town that her Shidduch was Esav, as opposed to her younger daughter, her beautiful younger sister, Rachel, who was going to marry the tzaddik Esav. Why was Leah destined? Why was Leah destined to marry a Rasha? Why was Rachel destined to marry a tzaddik? So Tzadok, in his Sefer Takanas Hashavim, Rav Tzadok explains that these descriptions are clearly not descriptions of their personal, their appearances. We wouldn't describe the himos in that way. Rav Tzadok has, and it's a very creative description, maybe even radical suggestion. But Rav Tzadok writes, Rachel, by saying that she's Yifas Torah and Yifas Mare, it could be that she was a very beautiful girl. And probably, as we know, that there's always a reflection between the material world and the spiritual world. So Rachel was very beautiful. But what the Torah is saying is that Rachel was a tzaddikas. She was that, you know, that girl, the girl who was always the good girl, the angel. That's who Rachel was, straight shooter, always doing the right thing, as opposed to Leah. Rav Tzadok says, what does it mean that Leah's eyes were always tearing? Yes, it's true. Rashi says Leah's eyes were tearing because she was crying over the fact that she was getting Esav. But Rav Tzadok gives a different interpretation of what it means that her eyes were red, that she was always crying. He says, crying eyes are the sign of a Baal Tshuva. Someone who cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who tries to climb out of the pit. And if Rav Tzadok didn't say it, it would be hard for us to say it. But Rav Tzadok says that Leah here represents a certain paradigm. We have the paradigm of the tzaddik, the person who just naturally, they're just a good person. You see them, they're always doing what's right. They're always on time. They seem to be able to sit for hours in the Beis Medrash. They have no Yetzihara to go out. As soon as they finish Shmon Esrei and we're waiting for Chazar Sashat, they have no Yetzihara to go outside and to hang out. They have no Yetzihara to take coffee breaks during morning Seder. That's Rachel. That's Yifas Toar, Yifas Mareh. You know, you look at her and you just say, oh, what a good girl. And then there's the Leah personality. That's the person who struggles. That's the person who it doesn't come naturally. That's the person who sometimes makes mistakes and has to climb out of the pit. They have to struggle with the desire to go out of the Beis Medrash, with the desire to speak Lashon Hara. In the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chayim, He suggests also a very radical interpretation of two terms that we're familiar with. Tzadik v'tovlo and tzadik v'ralo. We traditionally interpret these terms to mean tzadik v'tovlo, that's a person who's a tzadik, and you see in his life everything seems to go well for him. Great family, great job. God's really smiling at him. And then there's the tzadik v'ralo. You know, the guy who's a tzadik and he's doing everything right, and yet he's such a nebuch. Everything keeps messing up for him. He has a tough life, tough parnasa. Tzadik v'ralo. The Be'er Mayim Chaim gives a different interpretation of tzadik v'tovlo and tzadik v'ralo. And it parallels these two prototypes that we just described. Tzadik v'tovlo means someone who's a tzadik and it works for him. It flows, it's easy. You know, that guy in the Beis Medrash that you look at, and it just seems like he's so easy for him. And tzadik v'ralo means someone who's a tzadik, but it's hard. It's a struggle. It's raw, it's bitter. It's a battle. Leah might have been the tzadik v'ralo. It might have been a struggle for her. It might have been a challenge. But we all know the end of the story. Leah doesn't marry Esav. In fact, not only is she successful at not marrying Esav, but she ends up marrying the good boy. You know, there was a bad boy, and there was the troubled girl who was struggling. And they were supposed to be a shidduch. And then there was the Yelad Tov Yerushalayim, we say here in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was the Yelad Tov Yerushalayim. You know, he always did what was right. He sat, Yoshev O'alim. He was always learning. He always was doing what was right. And the shidduch was with Rachel. She was the good girl. Not only does Leah not have to marry Esav, but in a certain sense, she transcends Rachel. Leah has more children. More of the Shiftei Ka come from Leah. Rachel actually dies early. She leaves the story early. Right? You ever start a book and then the lead figure dies like in the second chapter? What's going on? So Leah grows to great prominence. And it's actually much, much more than that. Certainly, Ein Lanu Esek Bin Hastarim. I'm certainly not well-versed enough in Kabbalistic literature to really know what this means. But I've seen quoted in the name of the Zohar that the Zohar and the Ramchal develops this theme. Apparently in the Zohar, it says about Rachel that Rachel represents Alma d'Isgalia. And Leah represents Alma d'Iskasia. What do those terms mean? Rachel is Alma d'Isgalia. It means the revealed world. And Leah represents Alma d'Iskasia, the hidden world. And in the writings of the Ramchal, and I'm told in much of Hasidic literature as well, Rachel and Leah represent two different relationships that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. Rachel represents the revealed relationship, what we would maybe, even though we use this in a negative way, but it's also just a technical term, the superficial relationship. By us, that has a negative interpretation, but superficial means what's on the outside. And Leah represents the Alma d'Iskasia, the hidden, the deeper relationship between Klal Yisrael. We all know sometimes with a friend, certainly you'll see with a spouse, there's the external relationship, and then there's the deeper core relationship, the inherent relationship. And certainly when we're building relationships, here we're all B'nai Yeshiva, sitting in Yeshiva, spending hours and hours chazering, trying to remember the Gemaras that we learned, trying to understand Shir, finish Nayim Mikra. Certainly there's a lot of external things that are going on, but obviously, I would hope that the goal is the internal relationship, the deep relationship, the Alma d'Iskasia. And again, not knowing exactly what that means, because we're certainly not the ones to decide, Rachel, Leah, this one's greater, that one's greater. Mitzad Echad, we know that Chazal tell us, Then you open up a Tanya, and the Tanya starts speaking about levels of souls, and it sounds like the tzaddik's on a much higher level than the Baal Tshuva. So we're not here to paskin Rachel versus Leah. But we can look at the facts. Leah certainly rises to tremendous prominence. And whatever the Zohar means, Leah is Alma de Iskasya. She's the deeper, the depth relationship. The Ramchal quotes a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis that describes, that quotes Adam. And when he finally finds Chava, the pasuk says, Zos hapam etzem me'atzamai ubasar mi'basari. Etzem me'atzamai, a bone from my bones, and basar mi'basari. Apparently in Kabbalistic literature it says, this is Rachel and Leah. What does that mean? There's the basar, there's the external, and then there's the etzem, there's the bone. The bone is what gives structure to the body. Without the bones, the body would fall apart. The bone is the inner core. It's what gives the structure. And then the basar, the basar is around it. It's on the outside. And this reflects, again, guf and neshama, essence and external. This is Rachel and Leah. Leah's the essence. She's the what's on the inside. So amazingly, Leah represents some deeper relationship. Even though Leah started, she was on the out. It's hard to suggest such things because I didn't see it in a sefer. But just a few minutes ago when I was looking for the psukim, amazingly, I see here that when Yaakov comes to Lavan, Vayomer lo Lavan, ach atzmi ubisari ata. Amazing foreshadowing to what's going to happen. If those two terms really refer to Rachel and Leah. The first thing Lavan says to him is, you're my etzem and my basar. A foreshadowing to the relationship that Yaakov will have with his two daughters. Ach hapam, etzem me'atzamai o basar mi'basari. So how is it that Leah ends up symbolizing the etzem? How is it that Leah ends up as the, if we could say it, how do Leah ends up on top at the end of this story? Leah starts with the crying eyes, destined for Esav. And in the end of the story, Leah ends up being the one who is the mother of the most of the Shiftei Ka. She's what Kabbalistic literature refers to as the Alma de Iskasya. What's the secret? And the secret is Pashit. You know, the Shidduch between Leah and Esav wasn't supposed to be a shidduch of two bad people. Remember, Leah and Rachel are two different prototypes of tzaddikim. They're both tzaddikim. One is tzaddik v'tovlo, it comes naturally, and one needs to fight to get there. Esav also had potential to be a tzaddik, and that's pashut. Yitzchak wasn't an idiot. Yitzchak obviously brought Esav close, because Yitzchak knew Esav's potential. The Torah describes Esav as an admoni. What does that mean, that he's admoni, that he was full of seyar, that he was red? So we know, Chazal say that the red, the hair, all of that, that reflects a certain intensity, a certain unbridled power. But you know who else it says that about? David HaMelech, same description of David HaMelech. And the Medrash notices this. And the Medrash says, yes, David HaMelech and Esav came from the same, they were cut from the same cloth. And what was the difference? That David made something of himself. He channeled that unbridled energy and he became somebody great. Not somebody great, one of the greats. Because sitting in a base medrash and struggling with learning, struggling with davening, struggling with midos tovos, struggling with shmiras einayim, these are not your downfall. These are your ticket to ultimate success. And Leah achieved the tremendous level that she achieved, not despite her qualities, but because of those qualities. And her and Esav could have been an amazing shidduch if Esav would have followed the lead of David HaMelech many years in the future. But Esav wrote himself out of Jewish destiny, and Leah wrote herself into Jewish destiny. And Leah has the position that she has because she had teary eyes. because she cried many nights as she struggled to be great. And there were times when she was broken, and there were times when she struggled, and there were times when she felt, I can't do this, look at everybody else. Look how everyone else seems to be doing so well in Shir. And I struggle to understand what's going on, let alone I can't ask those bomb kashas that guy's asking. I can't stay in the base medrash as late as everybody else. I can't even stay until 7:15 or 7:30, whenever. I don't even know what time afternoon Seder ends, because I always cut out before that time. But Leah pushes herself, and because she perseveres, she's successful. Yitzchak tried so hard. He said to Esav, Sana kleecha, when he told him to go out and hunt, he says to him, lift up your tools. And all the mefarshim, all the darshanim say, he wasn't telling him to pick up his bow and arrow. He was telling him to elevate what he has. It's true, go out and pick up your bow and arrow and find me some tzayid. But raise up what you have. Capitalize on what you see as your shortcomings and turn them into the reason why you'll be successful. The secret to Leah's success and our legacy that we get from Leah, what we learn from Leah for the Doros, is that no matter how many cards are stacked against you, if you cry and you work hard and you persevere, so not only will you succeed, but you will far transcend what you could ever have imagined you could have accomplished. The secret to Leah is hard work and determination. And it's very, very hard for us, because all we look for are shortcuts to success. And everyone loves to tell a story. I know a guy, he didn't go to college, he started an Amazon account, and now he's like a millionaire. You know, he just sits in his house, he works for 2 hours, clicks a little bit, and that's it. Now he's a millionaire. You're not there yet. And now he's a millionaire, right? We love these stories of people with their quick success stories. And I'll tell you, from a little bit of experience, for every story of someone with their quick success story, there's 5, 10, 15, 20 stories of people who failed miserably when they tried to just shortcut to the top. And alachas kama v'kama, when we're talking about real things, when we're talking about a kinyan in Avodas Hashem, there are no shortcuts. The only way you succeed is if you work and you work and you work. But the beautiful thing is that if you work and you work and you work, you do succeed. That's the beauty. The most successful people in Avodas Hashem, in learning, in Midos, are not the people with the most natural abilities. Those people actually often don't succeed as well as others because they rely too much on their natural qualities, their natural abilities. Some of the most successful people ever in all fields, not only in Torah, in all fields, are the people who are willing to work hard. And developing a work ethic and pushing yourself in a healthy way, but pushing yourself is the hallmark of successful people. They once asked Rabbi Yashiv what was his secret to his success. And he just said, I learned and I learned and I learned. Obviously, certain natural abilities help. And I'm sure he had many natural abilities. But if we chazer and we push and we continue to learn and we create for ourselves an environment that will breed success, we will be successful. And here we have a very, very important point that we have to make sure that we internalize. The environment that we set for ourselves and the rules that we set for ourselves this year are going to be super crucial for our success. For instance, if a person says, I'm davening in the yeshiva minyan, nikuda, that I've decided, I'm going to daven shachris in the yeshiva minyan. So a person who davens in the yeshiva minyan generally is successful during the year. I promise you, if you're not coming to the yeshiva minyan yet in the morning, all the people who do go are no less tired than you are. It's not that you're more tired and they're less tired. It's because they made a decision. I'm davening in the yeshiva minyan. And the people who say, you know what? I'm going to turn my phone off during Seder, especially morning Seder, because I can promise you, you're not that popular. Nobody is trying to reach you between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the morning in Eretz Yisrael. First of all, in America, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And your friends in yeshiva, whatever message they have for you is certainly not going to be any different if you check your phone at 1:30 when shiur is over. And if you turn off your phone, you put it in your... I want you to notice, I'm not telling you don't bring your phone to the Beis Medrash building. I'm not telling you to throw away your phone and get a flip phone. I'm just saying this to turn it off when you're learning. Because if you were working in a medical laboratory and what you felt what you were doing was very important, you would turn it off. And if you had an important meeting on the job, you would turn off your phone. You can give anyone you want in the whole world my phone number. My phone is on. If they have anything that's important, reach me. I'll answer and I'll get the phone to you. You won't miss anything important. But if you turn off your phone, it sends a message to yourself and to your chavrusa that we're serious about this and we want to succeed. And it's decisions like that. To turn off your phone during Seder, to come to the yeshiva minyan, to make sure that if afternoon Seder ends at a certain time, that you come to that. I'm going to take it upon myself. Don't do any extra learning. But just learn all the starim fully. Don't miss a night Seder. Don't miss an afternoon Seder. You know, there's the headache that is a real headache and you need to lie down. And when you need to lie down, you need to lie down. And then there's the Wednesday headache because I'm tired and it's been a long week. And I feel a little bit tired. And who wants to get out of bed at 9:30 when you went back for a nap after Shacharis? But perseverance and dedication to goals, that's how Leah succeeded. We also need to dream big. Dreaming big is another important factor in being successful. In this week's Parsha, Yaakov actually comes across as a real macho man in this week's Parsha. And the only way to explain it, if it's not Gaiva, is that he's dreaming, because we know he's a dreamer, that he's dreaming big and he's aiming for the stars. What does he do? You know, he stands there, he's really excited about the girl. What does he do? He picks up the rock that takes 8 people and he just decides, you know, that would have been, if you're trying to impress a girl and you try to pick up a really big rock, right, on your first date, don't try to pick up a big rock off of a well when you're not so sure you're able to lift it up. Because if you're sitting there going, and the girl's looking at you, it's not going to go well for the first date. And here, that's a very bold move to try to lift a rock that you're not 100% sure you can lift. And then what happens? Then he comes. He's not a very good negotiator. He comes to Lavan, and Lavan says, yeah, I have a daughter. He goes, okay, 7 years. Start with a year. Start with 2 years. 7 years. And then when he gets cheated, what does he say? Okay, another 7 years. He's talking a very, very big game in the Parsha. The last time we have it is, he doesn't seem like a very good businessman either. He's trying to get a payment. So what does he say? All right. If he knows anything about genetics, this is probably not a very good move. Take out all of the spotted and speckled sheep. I only want white sheep. Let's get all of the speckled and spotted genes out of this pool. And now, out of the white ones, whatever ends up being speckled and spotted, I'll take that as my payment. And what ends up happening? Again, he cashes in big, and he's a millionaire by the end of the Parsha. So he lifts the rock that he probably can't lift. He offers 14 years without any negotiations. And he takes a crazy business deal. Is he unrealistic? Is he a balgaiva? It's pashit what he is. He's thinking big. He's dreaming big. You know, Bava Kamma is not the biggest mesechta. You can easily finish Bava Kamma this year. It just requires a little bit of dedication. You know, to do an extra amud here, an extra blot over there, to chazer shir an extra time. It's not easy. But it's not super hard if you're dreaming big. You know, you can, we all say we can't. You can sit in morning Seder from 9:30 until 12:30 without taking a break. You can. I promise. How many times do you leave a movie theater in the middle of a movie? How often do you leave in the middle and say, like, I'm going to get a coffee in the middle of a movie? How often does that happen? It never happens. Why? Because it's a really good movie. I don't want to miss anything. You could sit for 2 hours. You could sit for 3 hours. You could probably sit for 5 hours. I was just on a plane for 10 hours and the couple fell asleep next to me. I was in the window seat. I didn't move for 10 hours. You could do it. It's painful, but you could do it. You can come to yeshiva every day. You can. You don't need your once every other week morning where, you know, tell Rebbe I'm not feeling well this morning. You can do it. You can come every single day. You can daven in yeshiva minyan. If you miss a point in shir, you can come 10 minutes late to lunch. If you miss the point in shir, you stay after, ask the Rebbe, make sure you get it. Chazir again during night seder. Yaakov, and the line about Yaakov, you can't forget the first line and you can't forget the second line. It says about Yaakov, about the ladder that he saw when he was dreaming, it was Rosho Magia Shamaima. You know what that means? That means he was dreaming big. Now you also need Sulam Mutzavartza. You can't be unrealistic. You can't have your head in the clouds without your feet being firmly planted on the ground. But if your feet are firmly planted on the ground, and you're doing it in a healthy way, you can have Rosho Magia Shamaima. You can strive, and you can succeed tremendously. So you need determination, you need hard work, you need the perspective of Leah, and to remember that as hard as it is, you can succeed. And lastly, there's one last ingredient. The last ingredient for success is a Gemara Nidan, Daf Ayin Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Ma Yasa Odom V'yachkim. What should a person, you got to get to Nida Ayin Amid Beis to get to this question, but it should be in Brachos Beis Amid Aleph. Ma Yasa Odom V'yachkim. How should I be successful in yeshiva? What should a person do if he wants to become a Talmud Chacham? That's it, right there. Great Gemara. Amar Lahem. So the Amor who was asked said, Yarbe b'yeshiva v'yemoit b'schora. Try to steal away as much time you can for learning. So the Gemara says, Harbe also came v'lo ho'ilahem, ho'ilahem. A lot of guys went to yeshiva. A lot of guys were very successful in yeshiva. And then you look 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, they don't look so successful in their learning and their davening. So what's the secret? It can't just be sit and learn. Says the Gemara, Yevakesh rachamim mimi shachochma shelo. You also need to daven with tremendous kavana if you want to succeed. And this is the little known secret to real success in life, but certainly as a Ben Torah. You need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous passion to be successful. Tremendous passion doesn't mean in a weird way. And it doesn't mean with weird gesticulations of your arm or noises, but it means to daven with passion. You all know the machlokas at the end of Shabbos about Yehi Shmei Rabbah is supposed to be done b'kol kocho. And Rashi says b'kol. And Tosfos says no. Sometimes the, you know, Ayin Rav Waxman, sometimes the sound of silence is more deafening than the screams. A person can be very passionate and he doesn't have to make a whole production about it. But if a person doesn't daven passionately, so he's not going to be successful in learning. Now, lest you say, that doesn't sound very rational, Rabbi Leibowitz. That sounds very Hasidic. So let me read to you from the Rambam. Says the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnayis, Ein le'odom im ha'chochma v'drishasa v'ishtadlus. When a person is seeking out chochma, and he's doreshit, and he's mishtadel, and he spends hours and hours and hours learning. Right? Imagine we're all familiar with the Rambam's letter where he describes his day. How he wakes up early in the morning to learn, then he travels to be a doctor by the caliph, then he comes home and there's a long line of people waiting for him, and by the end of the day when he sits down to learn, people are still coming, he has to lie down in a bed, he doesn't have enough strength to sit up. So the Rambam was definitely a big masmid, that's for sure. He was probably a very smart man as well. But listen to what he says. Ein le'odam im chochma v'ishtadlus. I'll tell you the secret. Ella lazov in yonov biyad habore. Ulispalel olav, ulhischanein, to plead, lahorosa ulegalos lohasodos haganuzos bekasov, to plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven to Him, that Hashem should reveal to Him the secrets, the depths of Torah. They report, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer reports, that the Netziv in Volozhin would not give shir on days that he didn't feel that he davened Ava Rabba properly. The days when he didn't say the bracha of Ava Rabba properly, he refused to give shir. And there's a very famous story that we like to say over in the yeshiva every time we learn Baba Basra. There's a very famous story that Rav Shimon Shkop, battery died, good timing, that Rav Shimon Shkop was once late in the Beis Medrash learning as a young Talmud, and he didn't learn from the Netziv. He wasn't in the Netziv Shir. And he was stuck on a Rashbam in Bava Basra, and he read it, and he read it again, and he read it again, and he was struggling, and he didn't know what to do, and he was about to give up, and lo and behold, what happens? It's 12:30 at night, and the Netziv walks into the Beis Medrash. So he runs over to the Rosh Hashiva, and he opens the Gemara, and he says, there's a Rashbam. And as soon as he says a Rashbam, the Netziv's eyes start to tear. And he looks at Rav Shimon Shkop, a young Shimon in yeshiva, and he says to him, I don't know if you know how many times I've gone to Kivrei Tzadikim and cried that I don't understand that Rashbam that you're pointing to on the page. So I imagine at that point Rav Shimon Shkop felt not so bad that he didn't understand the Rashbam. But he used to say for the rest of his life that that image of a Rosh Yeshiva crying over the fact that he davened so much trying to get pshat, that clued him in to what it means to be a successful Talmud Chacham. To daven, to seek a Kadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya, that in our learning, in our growth in Avodas Hashem, that we should be zoche to grow, to learn the lesson of Leah, to have the determination, to have the drive with our feet well planted on the ground, to have that determination and to pour out our soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should help. And hopefully with those ingredients, we should all be zoche this year to a tremendous year of growth, tremendous year of learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.